Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave Podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Dave, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing up there in Los Angeles? Getting a little bit of rain today, aren't we, brother? A little bit of rain in Southern California.
Hey, we need it. I heard the big news in California is they finally have announced, after literally 40 years, we're going to build a new water capture center up there near Sacramento, $2 billion.
Yeah.
40 years. And they're still saying, as of now, we're still doing environmental checking.
Yeah.
So it won't even be started. They're not even going to start cracking the ground for another 2 years.
Isn't it funny how everything costs $2 billion in California? $2 billion for the water capture, $2 billion for the homeless, $2 billion for the new bridge. Everything's $2 billion. I don't know. It's like a nice round number. Not too much, not too little. Just enough to get all the pathetic voters of California to support it.
And just to kick the can down the road, too. Hey, welcome to our show, everybody. Lots to fill you in on. The main thing we wanted to dive into right away on this show is the theme that the left will use over the next 9 months.
Right.
Because up and down the line, they have zero impact regarding any legislation. Anytime Donald Trump speaks, even if it's not the smoothest or the nicest way you want to put it, for all the soccer moms out there,
right,
he's correct 100% of the time.
Yeah,
Trump's right, and we know it. Okay, up and down the line, I don't think there's a single issue the Democrats can stick to that they've done well on. They'll try to spin it. They actually tried to spin that Biden's doing great on the border, that the economy's doing great.
He can't do anything more. He needs more legislation. He needs more laws. He needs more border patrol people. He just has to reverse the EOs he put in place 100 days after he got in and reversed all the Trump policy. That's all he has to do, and we all know it, fool.
It's all nonsense. And guess what? People are finally waking up to it.
They are.
Which I love. Yeah. I love it.
I love it.
Because
we're force multiplying, baby. People like us and tens of thousands of other people like us are force multiplying. So now the mainstream folks are getting it.
So what the left has been doing literally for our entire lives is they use the scare tactics. And this has anything having to do with the environment or a potential war or your health.
Yep.
That's what COVID was all about. It was just a scare tactic.
Yep.
So one of the leading – I'm not going to use the word because his last name is Deutsch.
Yeah.
Deutsch.
Deutsch.
I was going to say something really –
I thought you pronounced it correctly, Dave.
I might have. he's on this MSNBC, and we can't just say this is some frivolous thing. NBC is owned by Comcast, Universal.
Yeah.
It's a it's like the top media company, except for Disney. They're number one in the country.
They are the mouthpiece for the Democratic Party. I mean, let's be very clear.
They really are. So I know you teed up a couple of responses from this, but give me your overall feeling about how, hey, this is all they got, and Donnie Deutsch said it right there for everyone to hear. This is what they're going to try and do over the next 9 months to scare us.
100%. No, so Donnie Deutsch, I'm just going to play the clip from War Room podcast, Steve Bannon, a great podcast, good friend of the show's. I'll play the clip, let folks listen to it, but just a little bit of background. Yeah, so Donnie Deutsch, famous advertising guy, inherited the business from his daddy, far, far, far left-hand side guy. By the way, everything he says from a strategy perspective that the Democrats should do, I hope they do it because it doesn't work. And I think everything he suggests for us, we should do it because it's definitely working. So anyways, to your point, Dave, put fear into people so you can control people. Fear, control. It's the fear, control axis. And like you beautifully laid out, they've done it for climate, they've done it for health, and that is how they roll. That is just how they roll. So, so listen to this clip. And this is really kind of, I think, interesting because, you know, if this is the best they got, Dave, if this is the best they got, then I say bring it all day and twice on Sunday. So here we go, folks.
So you got that. Remember, they call them newcomers. They call them newcomers. And they said, legitimately have a right to come here. That no one on this has a legitimate right to come here.
By the way, just quickly, he's referring to illegal aliens and how the left-hand side is now using the counter-narrative language, as they always do, Dave, to change the goalposts. They're not even migrants anymore, Dave. They're called newcomers.
Newcomers.
Not migrants, and definitely not illegal alien invaders, which is what they really are. But they're not even migrants. Now they're newcomers. Oh, let's build a newcomer shelter because that sounds so much better, right? Okay, here we go.
If they want to apply for asylum and they are qualified under very restrictive rules, they got to go to the first free nation. That you've gamed the whole system. None of this was in that bill. That's why the bill is a joke. You have executive powers to do all of this and you won't do it. and now the numbers you're cratering. Donnie Deutsch, the big marketing guy, he said, I'm afraid. I'm scared. We got scared people. I'm afraid. Sitting there sucking a stone call. Donnie, you need a pat on the head. You need a hug. You curl up. Be a man. I'm afraid. This is what opposes us. This is why we don't fear these folks. Look at them. Just look at them. Do you fear that? I'm afraid. Nicole Wallace, I'm afraid. Can you give me a hug? I'm afraid. Big bad Trump, MAGA, Christian nationalists, deplorables. I'm afraid. What are you afraid of, Donnie? You're afraid of criminal prosecutions like President Trump putting him in jail for 700 years? You're afraid of having your business ripped from you that your father built, just like President Trump's father started the foundation of his business, stolen, just taken from you? Is that what you're afraid of? I'm afraid. Is that what you're afraid of? You're afraid of being debanked and deplatformed? Is that what you're afraid of? You're afraid of putting Rudy in bankruptcy, putting Navarro in jail? Is that what you're afraid of? Is that what you're afraid of? Brother, for you and all your colleagues, what is good for the goose is better for the gander. So stand by. This is why President Trump is a very kind-hearted person. I'm not. Okay? And there's a lot of me and there's a lot of folks like me in this movement. You guys went there. Is that what you're afraid of? You're afraid of everything that you turned on Trump? Are you afraid of being in prison like the J6 people? We're going to have...
That pretty much encapsulates it, Dave, like you said. So, I mean, look, yeah, that's why we have no fear, because, you know, we get those, you know, spectacled folks like Donnie Deutsch on the other side. That's the best they got. Bring it.
Well, they're afraid of losing power, which is they crave more than anything else. The 1%ers, they crave power out of right. Davos, out of the WHO, on and on and on. And once they have any kind of crack in that armor, they freak out. They're in full freak out mode right now.
100%.
So not only are we going to hear and see that theme over and over, it's tied into the other thing, and Bannon just touched on it. They want to throw out these words, Christian nationalist, in one right. as one grouping
yeah.
to demonize basically everybody.
Yeah.
So and some idiot on also on MSNBC actually was Trump. Well, we're not talking about Christians. We're talking about Christian nationalists, which are very different. You just yeah. F you, lady.
Yeah. And they're trying every permutation, and they actually market research this stuff and sure. they shop it. They want to see what combination really gets their base up in the grill, right? So white nationalist, white Christian nationalist. Christian nationalist, yep. Christian white nationalist. And it sounds pathetic, but it's true. They do literally test all of these things to see how they land with their side. So they can't say white Christian. They like saying white nationalist because they got to take Christian out of it. Because if they lose Christians, they're done. But if they say white nationalist, yeah. that for them, they think that equates to Nazis, right?
Yes.
And so then that's the kind of the linkage with the dark red thing and the speech and that he made in Philadelphia and the whole nine yards.
It's so pathetic, but it's happening. Like, this is their thing. And so the other tie into this, these two losers were also on MSNBC. And the other kind of side note to what we just talked about is the other term they're using now is white rural rage. This is
right.
It's like, right. Yeah, yeah. We're pissed off that we've got a bunch of illegals coming in. We're pissed off about our taxes going through the roof. We're pissed off about paying $6 a gallon for gas. Yes. But these two idiots, I'm going to play this little soundbite up here too. It's called The Threat to American Democracy, White Rural Rage. Basically, it's like us, right?
Yeah.
And the stream of idiotic links this guy tries to bring forth. You just want to slap this guy. You want to throw a watermelon in his face, but have a go because this is happening.
Listen to it. Yeah. Fantastic. Bring it up.
Interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, geodemographic group in the country. They're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech, they're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts.
I can't even take it anymore.
That's enough to make your head explode. But what I will say, and I learned this from Bannon, this is why it's important to listen to the other side.
Yes.
It's very important to start with what I call cold opens to the show, and I think that's something we'll start doing. But playing clips from CNN and MSNBC and this garbage, this white rage thing, but obviously you could tell, why is this book being released 7 months before the election? This has been in works for years and months, right? So this is timed. It's a political book. It's done very intentionally. And oh, by the way, pretty much 95% of what he just said, I agree with. I mean, Obama wasn't born in the United States. Yeah, COVID was a bioweapon launched by the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah. I mean, where else do you want to go? I mean, yes, this stuff is all true. Just because his form of truth is something different, it's that's not the issue.
And it's just so typical, just to, you know, when you see a visual image of these two, you know, quote unquote, eyeglass wearing professorial types.
Oh, yeah.
Spouting their nonsense. Just one ridiculous, this QAnon thing, they never really want to describe what it is. Oh, you mean you're for child pedophilia? You're for child trafficking? Okay, because that's the main thing with QAnon is against. They don't want to see child predators out there, you idiot.
Right.
On and on. So, but yeah, worth calling out and just something to be aware of. And if any of your friends at your next cocktail party, oh, isn't it terrible about the white Christian nationalist and they're trying to, the rural white people trying to ruin our country, just tell them to stick a fork in it.
Yeah, totally. I'm looking, Dave, at a couple of just trending stories here on X, on Musk. Some of this stuff is just incredible. Obama is president is trending again today at 50,000 posts. I mean, clearly the guy's pulling the levers behind the scenes. Illegal aliens, number two. Arrest, number three. A couple of other Muslim Congress people, Omar and one other one, went down to Cuba, dude, on a congressional visit in secret. Didn't tell anybody. Goes down to Cuba. So now Cuba's trending at number four, a couple hundred thousand. You know, this is a murderous dictatorship, terrorism, state sponsor. They're on the State Department, state sponsor of terrorists. And two of our Congress people go down there who are self-admitted Marxists. I mean, they represent the radical Muslims in Minnesota and Minneapolis that Obama imported intentionally. And that was very intentional. Bring them, just like right now, 10 to 15 million, bring them over, seed them in the cities, start getting them numbers, votes, IDs, driver's licenses, legitimize the whole thing. They become votes. And then you put these people in Congress and then you quote unquote, you get what you import, right? You get what you get. And this has happened in the UK now. The very first member of parliament from the Sharia supremacist party has just been elected, okay? This guy is now a member of parliament in the United Kingdom, okay? This is not the Judeo-Christian England, London, UK that I know or my parents knew or remember or whatever. This is now turning. It's going to happen first in France. It's going to happen probably second in Italy and or the UK. It's a toss-up. But believe you me, it's a movie coming to the theater here in the United States. So those folks are already here, by the way. That Muslim flex last week in Michigan when 100,000 Democrats didn't turn out to vote. The Biden side is freaking out because all these, and basically a third of that is Dearborn, Michigan. And that's all the Muslim population. And they did not turn out because they don't like what he's doing. They don't like the whole thing around the transgender, the alphabet soup stuff. And they hate that because they're very conservative from that perspective. So it's a mess for him no matter which way he turns. It's a mess.
I love how the Marxists in the Democrat Congress have zero. They're going to go, hey, we're going to go down to Cuba and do a fact-finding mission. Right? Hey, let's find out how they've been doing this for 60 years, how they roll.
Yeah.
And we'll bring back some of their swell ideas to our Congress.
Yeah. Their healthcare system is 70 years old and they're still driving Edsels. How's that going for you?
Oh,
they can't get parts for their cars. I mean, it's insane.
But they love it. Hey, let's stay in international waters for a second here. The Ukraine war is still ongoing. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. The German chancellor over there, Scholz, a real loser, they're coming out and saying to the world now, there are now, as we're saying, speaking right now, the UK and French people are now in the Ukraine fighting. So they were high. Oh, no, we're just giving them military equipment and funds. We now know that the UK and France have both sent soldiers. Both those countries have authorized forces on the ground in the Ukraine because they want that. Wait for it. We all know this. They want a global world war. Okay, the elitists, the one percenters love it. And don't listen to this stuff. Oh no, we don't want to have a world war. Yes, you do. They're doing everything to keep this thing going and going and going. They want the longer this war goes on, they love it. They for them, any kind of a conflict around the world, any kind of a situation where there's people dying and there's a horrible thing going on, they thrive on that.
Yeah, McConnell, all of them.
You got Schultz coming right out and saying that the soldiers are over there. When's it going to end?
Yeah, totally, dude. I mean, you're right. I mean, all the way through to here. Look, McConnell, Schumer, the left-hand side, Biden. We've said it since day one. Ukraine is not a war. It's the Russian third of the Ukraine. The eastern third of the Ukraine is 100% Russian speaking. These are Russian people. They hate Zelensky. They hate the Ukraine. They actually want to be part of Russia. And so, what are you going to do? Keep on going. We've sent 120 billion. A million Ukrainians have dead. The average age of the Ukrainian fighting man right now is 46 years old, Dave. 46. These people are supposed to be in their early 20s. I mean, this war is over before it started, but the military-industrial complex here in the United States and globally, the Raytheons, the General Dynamics of the world, Boeing, etc., they need this to keep going. This is one giant slush fund where this money is circulating, and God knows what else is going on there in terms of human trafficking, child trafficking, all the rest of it.
How about the bioweapons labs?
All of it, right? I mean, the Ukraine has always been on the top three of the most corrupt countries in the world, and now we know why, right? Okay, all of this stuff, all the money, all the oligarchs, all of it. And why do you think there's so much resistance to getting it shut down? It's like, why do you want to shut down the Jeffrey Epstein pedophile ring? That was going great for the people that were involved with it, because that's what they liked and that's what they wanted. That's why the FBI won't release any of the they have all the info from the guy's apartment. Why has that stuff not been released? Why has Seth Rich's laptop not been released? Seth Rich was executed by hitmen because he basically spilled the beans on Hillary Clinton's email server back before the previous election. He was killed. Why has his laptop not been released? Why is Julian Assange? Why is he still hiding in fear for his life? Okay? These people all know what's going on inside the administrative state, and that's why there's a threat. Yeah.
And another big military conflict that's still going on that would not be happening if Donald Trump was president. That's just my belief. It's the proxy war between Iran and Israel. So out there in the Red Sea, where you got the Houthis, which is just an Iranian-backed group. You can call them whatever you want.
Not to be confused with Houthi and the Blowfish.
No, that was a pretty good
very different
back in the 90s. But we've already announced that, we're doing our best, whatever that might mean, to control them so that this is a major shipping lane. Okay. And now what's having to happen because of these Houthis, dude, these dangerous rebels that we're spending how much on our Tomahawk missiles trying to destroy these guys? If you gave some kind of military contractors a couple million dollars, they could take these guys out in a heartbeat, but they don't want to. I think they want this trouble to ensue.
Yeah.
So this boiled over just a couple days ago when one of the major shipping Rubimar, it's called Belize flagged Rubimar, and this is actually horrible on many levels. It was carrying 41,000 tons of fertilizer.
Yeah,
we've already talked about how there's a shortage of fertilizer around the world. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe it's because they don't want to have beef prices go down,
right.
So they're gonna short us all on the fertilizer. And this actually is a ecological disaster. So the Houthis fire missile. One, obviously, this ship was not protected by any
right.
other group, so it's going by itself. One single missile, anti-ship missile, downs this ship, 41,000 tons of fertilizer. That is an ecological disaster.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, this stuff is these dots are all connected, right? So, you know, several hundred food processing facilities blown up or mysteriously destroyed in the last 3 years. The tanker traffic through the Red Sea, where the U.S. has a carrier battle group, and that freighter that you're referring to, Dave, that went down, there's hundreds of freighters that go through there every day. Why did the Houthis target a British ship that's carrying tons of fertilizer? They could have taken down any ship. Why'd they do that one ship, right?
There you go.
Okay, so there's the dot connection for the people listening at home. Nothing, there are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences, okay? Don't ever forget that. This stuff is connected.
So now you have to avoid these shipping lanes. And gee, I wonder what that's going to do to prices for everything around the world.
Of course.
Everything goes up. Because the longer your goods sit on a ship that have to go travel farther to avoid these dangerous waters, the worse it is for everybody. But guess what? Once again, the globalists don't care. They don't care. It to happen.
And I say the Epoch Times, Dave, if you didn't see it, did an amazing interview with Eric Prince yesterday or a few days ago when CPAC was on. Eric Prince, former Navy SEAL, former founder of Blackwater, which was sort of the civilian workforce doing special ops for the United States government. It's now ceased to operate because they had a couple of issues. But anyway, he was commenting on this exact topic. We are enabling the Houthis. They want to make it look like we're actually going against them. This administration is enabling them.
Yes.
They want this stuff to continue. They want to foment this activity. They want there to be trouble in Gaza. And in Israel, I mean, Prince offered to basically bring over the Texas drillers and said, hey, we'll connect the tunnels to the Med and flood these tunnels with 60,000 liters per minute of Mediterranean seawater and flood these cockroaches all out. But no, they said no. That was scuttled by, wait for it, who? United States government. Scuttled that idea. So now you have about a million and change Palestinians. Nobody wants them. Egypt has a huge wall there, not going over that way. So they're going to have to basically build rapid assembly camps where these folks can go a little bit north to hide out in those things while the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, bombs the crap out of southern Gaza because they got to get rid of the last three battalions of Hamas. Mm. And that's basically where there's a couple thousand of them left. And they're basically hiding in the tunnels underneath about 800,000 Palestinian civilians. So don't make any mistakes. The U.S. is not the hero in this situation. The U.S. administration wants this to continue.
Yeah, I think that's another kind of ties into how we began this show is how the left wants chaos. And yet they'll turn around, wink, wink, nudge. It's really Donald Trump that's causing all this chaos around the world. Whereas he was like the only president of the last 6 years who had no new military conflicts while he was president. So it's actually, you know, another psyops job that they pull on us, just like with immigration. And it's I think it's finally coming. The roosters are coming home to roost. Is that how that one goes?
Chickens coming home to roost. I have a great listener to the show, Mr. Sean, he always tells me that saying, like the chickens are coming home to roost. And my friend Jeff, another great listener of the show, says that. I think that is the phrase, though. Yeah.
I think the chickens, the roost, there's something about the rooster and rooster, the chicken. Wait a minute.
That's a Seinfeld episode. You get the chin, you get the hen, you get the chicken, and the rooster. Okay, the hen goes with the rooster. Then who's having sex with the chicken? Something's missing. All right.
That's a story for another day, I guess. But this ties into what's going up there. These wealthy Boston residents, okay, this has been kind of building up. So these are the snotty 1 or 2 percenters. Oh, we're proving we're you know, big Democrat stronghold. Guess what? Now that there's a temporary migrant shelter right literally in their neighborhood, now they're finally, gee, maybe we don't like this so much. And what happens when you bring in a temporary migrant shelter? You get drug use, you get filth on the ground, and by filth, I mean, you know what? You get kids being beat up. And gee, I wonder if they even asked these locals. No. Of course they didn't ask them, but they're forcing it down your throat. And finally, the wealthy Bostonians have had enough. So when you know when they've finally snapped, you know there's the outrage is really reaching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%, dude. And amazing last week, too, just back on, you know, on the illegal alien piece. I mean, you had Trump. I mean, basically, Trump went to the border because he wanted to. Biden went to the border because he had to. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's really the summary of the whole situation. Trump gets to the border. People are cheering him. Even people from the other side. They had this video shot. You probably saw it. The people on the other side, the Mexican National Police, all the rest of it, they were like, Trump. They were cheering. You know, Biden was at this totally contrived photo op in Brownsville at a facility that's actually many miles from the physical border. It was all staged as everything is in this administration, completely set up, completely staged. You can go all the way back to the time when Biden got his fake COVID injections on the fake set of the White House, and all the way through to today, the whole thing is fake. So people don't, and it's like, go back to what the French poet said, right? The famous French poet, try to see what you see. See what you see, right? You got to see through the fakeness, and with artificial intelligence these days, very difficult because those deep fakes look very, very real. But you got to see through it. And look, again, just like 2016, Dave, This is going to be a one-issue vote that's got tentacles. It's going to be all about the border, illegal immigration. I even have moderate friends of mine now saying you got to build a wall. I mean, talk about coming around. So, and then because everything connects illegal immigration, the free health care, the resources, the killing of people like the poor nurse, the girl in Athens, Georgia, last week, and all of it. Right, I think last week there was like five or six in a row, and that is just not even the appetizer. This is going to get worse and worse and worse. We let in 10 to 15 million people. That's the number. That's the number from CBP. I mean, the number, the gotaways is probably double that. I mean,
and their dream, of course, is to try to turn these people into voters.
Of course,
and that's using the whole ballot harvest. Oh, there's a human being there. They get a ballot, and then we can harvest it and vote the way we want. That's our game plan.
100%. And just so folks at home think this is a rant and rave conspiracy. Blah, blah, blah. No, look, three months after Biden got in, he unwound every executive order Trump had in place to secure the border. Number two, he signed the UN Compact for Migration. Everybody go Google that. United States Global Compact for Migration basically says we subscribe to open borders. They then had Alejandro Mayorkas, the now impeached Homeland Security Secretary, fly down a Black Hawk helicopter, Central America, down to the Darien Gap, which is between Colombia and Central America and Panama. It's where they all come over, and they took old U.S. military facilities. They used your tax dollars that we feed to the UN to convert those facilities into migration camps so that the Middle East, China, and all these countries where we have treaties with could fly the illegals into Colombia. They come up through the Darien Gap. They stage them. And all you have to do is just go on Twitter, follow Laura Loomer, Ben Berkwam, Todd Benzman, all of these reporters who are doing great jobs down there. They stage them there, and then they wind them up in an ant operation to come all the way up to the border. And now we have what's called controlled flow. We've had it for 3 years. Anywhere between 5 and 20,000 a day. Do the math. 250,000 a month. 2-3 million a year, give or take. That's your ant operation. That is your illegal flow into the country. Totally planned. Totally well coordinated. They are exceeding their own expectations. This is not incompetence. This is total and complete intentionality.
Absolutely. And the tie into the votes that are going to be happening in the next 8-9 months is, of course, they're doing everything they can behind the scenes, mainly in blue states, to transform them into actual rule. Well, that's their dream.
I'm glad you brought that part up, Dave, because last time when they stole the election by 10 million votes, they manufactured those ballots and they just had them just paper, just when only one oval filled out, only Biden, et cetera. And they were just stacked up and ready to go. That's why they shut the machines down at 11 p.m. when Trump was up anywhere between 5 and 15 points in every battleground state. And at 7 in the morning, the exact opposite occurred. Now, the big push there was like, well, these are all illegal ballots. Where are they attached to? The people. Well, guess what? They just imported the people. They just imported the 10 to 15 million people to attach those ballots to. And that has been their strategy all along.
That's it.
Dave, great to see you this week. Folks, thanks for tuning in and lovely to have you talk with our show and see our show and listen to our show. Don't forget to share us out there on every podcast platform that you can. And we're also on social media at Rant and Rave 1776. And as always, we will see you down the road on the right side.